You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
That you are listening to right now with your ears.
And maybe your brain. Today we're going to be talking about the seventh and final serial of the 19th season of Doctor Who, Time Flight, with a dash between time and flight, which apparently infuriates Chris Cherry.
I thought it was one word.
No, it's time dash flight.
Okay.
This consists of four episodes that aired from March 22nd, 1982 to March 30th, 1982.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check out more of his stuff at matthewgolden.net. So, before we dive into Time-Flight...
Are you okay?
No. I just marathoned like 30 movies. So, it was the Chattanooga Film Festival this weekend and it was virtual. So, I could watch as many movies as I wanted in any order that I wished to. So I watched a lot of movies all in a row, and now my brain is fried a little bit. And also, don't remember the serial.
I was going to say, we watched this a week ago. You say it's a week ago. I swear it was 2 weeks ago, because it's quarantine and time is broken.
I think it was a week ago. I could be wrong. Who knows?
It feels like it was a long time ago. Here's what I do remember.
Yeah.
Feeling angry.
Yeah, that's fair.
I remember getting to the
end.
That's
final thought stuff.
All right.
Has anything been going on in your life that's interesting that you want to talk about before we die?
No! I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. What interesting developments would there be?
Well, I had one. The film festival. I got some recommendations for you guys. Here are the films that I really enjoyed that I think you should check out if you get a chance. First off, Tony and I both watched this one, The Vice Guide to Bigfoot.
It was pretty good, and I only felt mildly attacked by it.
It was relevant to our lives.
Yeah.
Also, some good people made it. I know some of the people who wrote and directed it and whatnot. It was very good. Kudos, Zach and Brian and Joel and Jeffrey and all the other people that were involved. That was good. Scare Package was fun. It's a horror comedy anthology. A little hit and miss, but that's true of most anthologies. Jumbo was very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a woman that falls in love with a Tilt-A-Whirl. And she's also the woman from Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which is another great movie that everyone should see.
No one asked for this at the beginning of their Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, but this is the we're talking about stuff portion, and I'm talking about stuff that's happened to me, and this is interesting to me, and probably to cinephiles out there. Being Natural. It's a very subtle, low-key comedy that takes a weird turn about 10 minutes before the end. Highly recommend that one.
I don't know. I can't believe I just let you say cinephiles without any kind of comment from me whatsoever. I feel bad about that.
Oh, Homewrecker was really good. Homewrecker was very good. It's like a woman who kidnaps another woman, and it's funny. It's a very good movie. Oh, Climbing to the Hunter, which is about... two women who are vying for the affections of a man who may or may not be a vampire.
Uh-huh.
Also, there is a dog that is a philosopher. That one's very good. Oh, The Wave was really good. The Wave stars Justin Long, and he's on a drug trip, and it's pretty good.
So anyway, Time Flight.
What? These people are interested in this, just because you're not interested in it.
Yeah, but I'm the one who has to live through it. I'm here.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, I was watching these movies on the couch with Tony beside me.
Yeah, I'm over here, like, I'm on the other side of the couch reading, and Joe would just be like, shit!
What the fuck?
You said that a lot.
She's got no tongue, asshole! is something I said at one point. You'll just have to figure out which one of those movies that belongs to.
And actually, I thought it was really funny. Because normally I just don't...
Go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't go. I went the first couple of years, and I hated it. I just got really crabby and hungry. Like, I'd be like, okay, it's time. We watch, like, two movies in a row. I'm done watching movies forever now.
You've seen some great movies.
I do like checking one or two out. I like that it exists, and I've seen...
You just can't marathon.
I cannot watch movies one after the other like that. You forget to eat. I remember, like, the year that we were like, oh, I'm just not gonna go. I will go to see, like, the one or two things that really interest me. Because, like, the first and second year, I was like, this is my least favorite thing that happens.
It's my favorite thing.
Because Joe will be there all day. And, like, I'll be like, when are we eating, by the way? And he would be like, oh, well, if you wanted to, we could get something to eat. But I really wanted to see this movie. And you had, like, no breaks in the day.
Yeah, it's true.
To eat.
I know. But I had to see some good movies. Like, I think I can name the ones that you liked, I think, that you really liked. Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
That one was good.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, it was good, yeah.
Amira and Sam. I Kill Giants.
Yeah.
That one made you cry.
You forgot, like, the probably my favorite movie you did not list.
Was it one of mine?
No.
What? Which one?
I think it was the film festival.
Oh, Dave Made a Maze.
Dave Made a Maze.
Yeah.
I fucking love Dave Made a Maze.
Dave Made a Maze is amazing. Dave Made a Maze is on Hulu, so everyone should go watch it because it's great.
All right. This has been 10 minutes of the podcast now.
Oh, the Plaza's Demon is also very good.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Time Flight, though. Not very good.
Can we go back to talking about the Chattanooga Film Festival?
I understand. I understand. Because...
Hey, guys, this one's not great.
It's not great.
Why wasn't Earthshock the finale?
I don't know. It had all the, like... I know, like, we're not at a period of time where, like, finales are finales yet, really. Mm-hmm. Except that Earthshock was. Like, it had all the, like, things that you would do.
Yeah, this is almost like that one season of Buffy where, you know, they had the finale and then they had the dream episode afterwards. So it's not like, that one wasn't like a big finale thing. It was more like setting up stuff.
Which I'm a fan of, by the way. I like doing all your, like, big plot stuff in the penultimate episode and then having
BoJack
the final...
BoJack does that a lot.
Yeah, having your final episode be like, okay, that was all the good plot stuff. Now we're going to deal with the emotional fallout of all that.
Yeah, like I said, BoJack did that as well. Like, his penultimate episode would always be like, so much shit! And then the finale would be, like, more grounded and dealing with the
emotional stuff.
So, Earthshock's a bit like that. Big finale. Somebody dies. And then this episode... It's just a filler episode.
It's just so much nonsense. I don't even. Here's the thing: you're gonna have to read the play by play of this because I.
Oh God!
All I remember is like the emotions I felt while watching it because it's not particularly memorable.
They don't even like deal with the aftermath of. I mean, do a little bit, but
we
not.
We kind of, in the like, this opening scene, they have like a scene at the very beginning. Well, it's not the opening scene.
Let's episode one, since we're diving into it.
Yeah.
I've called it Jurassic Air.
Okay.
It's a play on Jurassic Park and airlines.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead.
My brain actually took it as a play on Jurassic Park and Air Bud. Like, there's no rules that a T-Rex can't play. What is
basketball.
The first one? Basketball.
Yeah.
He's played lots of things.
Basketball's the first one. Air,
right. Got it.
Air Bud. It's not like
soccer.
Yeah, it's not like, what would that be? Grass Bud?
No, that's something different.
Oh, yeah. I know about the drugs. Yeah. Ground Bud.
What were you going to say?
Don't know. Let's dive into this episode.
Okay. Wait, I was going to say something.
Yeah, it was you.
They're like the first shot of Team TARDIS, because they're not the opening shot. But
the opening is a plane disappears. That's basically it. Like, they're like...
But that takes a long time to happen.
It takes a long-ass time.
It's not just like, oh, a plane disappears. It's
Like, Breaker, come over. You can land. And where are you?
We have to meet, like, five people.
The crew and then the air traffic control. And they're like, oh, it's not on our scanners anymore. Radar. I know things about airplanes. I just had a whole pint of fish food ice cream.
Are you on a sugar high right now?
Yes. I got pumped up for this episode. I'm excited.
The thing that I was trying to say is that the first shot of Team TARDIS, they basically have like a whole, they have one whole scene where they're like, I'm sad about Adric. And then they're like, yeah, but we're about to have an adventure. So like, we acknowledged it. We're starting to get more serialized now, but also we're done.
It's the same type of serialization we've had all season where it's just like, the first scene's like, hey, remember that shit that just happened? That was neat. Let's move on.
Yeah.
But, like, it's weirder to do that with such a...
with a major character death.
Yeah. And, like, also, like, Tegan is, like, specifically says, we're fucking time travelers. Why don't we go back in time and save Adric? And the doctor's just like, nah, let's go to the Great Exhibition of 1851.
Well, I think the doctor says it doesn't work like that.
Though it has.
I mean, that is part of the thing, like, that's the thing that, like, Doctor Who has problems with, that I think that's why you get the, like, fixed point in time. Some things are just fixed. Because it is a problem with time travel. Like, you can't have a major character death and have it, like, feel real or earned if you can just undo it. And so it's like, yeah. Well, you can't undo some things. And it's like, why? Like, well, because if you couldn't, then there wouldn't be stakes to anything. Like,
I mean, to be fair, I think Big Finish unkilled him anyway, so.
Did it?
Yeah. I don't think he died in Big Finish. Because they wanted to use Matthew Waterhouse to tell some more stories. So, I don't know how they did it, but I'm pretty sure he got unkilled. Like, I don't know how canon you want to make that, but...
I mean, I don't know. It depends. It depends on the stories.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's Adric, so is it going to be good?
It could be.
Could be. So, yeah, that's basically it for Adric, and then we go into the adventure of the week, which is they're going to the Great Exhibition of 1851, which that's what this whole serial is about, right? No. They encounter some turbulence in their flight because it's the same thing that made the plane disappear. So they wind up materializing above Heathrow Airport. Hey!
Which is genuinely really funny. The idea that, like, Tegan has finally been like, you know what? Actually, like, I enjoy being on the TARDIS. I want to stay. It's, like, the first time that they end up at Heathrow. And she's like...
Well, son of a bitch.
I mean, okay, I guess.
They materialize again inside the airport, which causes everyone to go, what the fuck is this thing?
I do like, though, that everyone's just, like, mildly annoyed about it. They're like, now I gotta what's this box? Now I gotta deal with figuring out what this box is. Like, that's basically the reaction upon finding it. It's like, I've got kind of bigger problems and I don't super care.
The doctor is also like, I'm gonna go stake out the place and figure out what's going on. And he comes back and he's just reading a newspaper and he's like, these cricket scores are horrendous.
I don't understand cricket.
You gotta know what a ground bud is before you can understand cricket. What would be the cricket version of air bud?
I don't know, because I don't know anything about cricket.
Isn't there like a stump or something? So it'd be like stump bud?
Crumpet bud.
Crumpet's not actually a cricket thing. It's a British
thing. It's a British thing. I understand this.
Cricket bud.
I just want to, every time we talk about cricket, I want to make a Ninja Turtles reference.
I almost said they might be turtles. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's nothing.
I was thinking TMNT and also TMBG. And it, like, got meshed up in my mind somehow. So it was, they might be turtles.
Anyway.
The people that work at Heathrow Airport come up to the doctor and they think maybe he had something to do with a missing airplane. Because, like, this thing just appeared in their airport. And they're like, are you responsible? And the doctor says, I try to be.
And, what a dummy.
And then the doctor tries to play his unit card and is like, it's fine that I'm here.
Like, in that scene, the doctor is clearly doing, like, some mental math where he's like, yeah, it's what year? Unit. Call unit.
Like, he specifically mentions someone, which I don't think has ever been on the show before. Like, he's like, call this person get in touch with this person at UNIT. I guess that's the person who's in control or whatever. He's also, but then he's also like, oh, and also say hi to Brigadier.
The Brigadier!
And he's like, though he might be a sergeant by now? Is that what he said? I don't know the rankings.
I don't know, and I don't know the rankings either.
This has been the first time that I feel like UNIT's been mentioned in a long time.
Yeah, a bit. UNIT's not in it. They just call UNIT, and UNIT's like, yeah, he's cool.
Well, that not only do they say he's cool, they're also like, oh, since you're with UNIT, you have to do this case now. You're like the highest ranking person around that can deal with this missing plane thing. So the doctor gets kind of roped into investigating this airplane disappearance, which I think he wanted to do anyway, but...
Yeah.
But it's also like, they're like, you have to do it now. They said you have to do it.
I think you're still technically on the payroll.
And the doctor's all like, okay, but here's the thing. The question isn't where is the airplane? The question is when is the airplane? Because that's the kind of guy he is. So the TARDIS and the TARDIS team are loaded on board another airplane, a Concorde.
Which I think Tegan has like a very cute moment about it. Where she's like, I've seen one of these from far away. It's like, she never really made it to work. So this is like her kind of moment where she's been like, aw, heck yeah, I forgot I'm all about airplanes.
Oh, right, that's my thing. So they're going to follow the same path that the other plane took to see what's up. Like, I don't know, they just talk so much. It's a lot of like airplane shit, and the doctor's like, I'm gonna tell you what we're doing, and they're like, what? And I don't believe in this nonsense. I don't know, it's all very boring. But at one point the doctor, because they got the TARDIS inside the plane, but it's laying down, it's on its side, and the doors are like facing
up. I love this scene.
Yeah, he opens the door and he climbs inside the TARDIS, and like, because of the orientation of it, like, he slides down the floor and like puts his feet on the console, and then has to like reach up, switch a switch.
And it writes itself.
Writes itself.
There's another bit of continuity there, actually. Because Nyssa says, I wish we had had that back on, was it Kestrel Valva?
Yeah. Yeah, because like the whole TARDIS was tipping over.
I am like a huge fan of that idea. The TARDIS just being on its side and what that means.
What did the switch just disconnect it from the outer?
Yeah, I think it like reoriented the inside dimension while leaving the outside dimension the same.
All right.
Right?
Sure.
I hate thinking about the TARDIS sometimes.
Oh, that's gotta be difficult. Like, then you walk out, like, what's the, like, in between, you know? Like, when you're half in, half out, what does that do to your body?
What's, like, the gravity situation happening at the door?
Right.
That is, like, that is what I need to know. Yeah. If you had something and you dropped it in the doorway.
Well, if you dropped it, like, if you dropped it in, it would just go, fuck. It just... Like,
I don't know what that means.
That's hard to...
In this audio format.
So you drop it in, like, you because the doors are opening upwards, right? So you just drop it in, like, you're dropping something into a box. And then it would just smack into the bottom of the TARDIS floor.
Right, but say you're on the inside.
And you throw something out?
No, you're not. No, no, no. You just drop it right at the doorway. You are in the doorway. The door is open. You're standing inside the TARDIS, and you just drop it in the doorway, in between the two.
Well, it'd probably depend on which it's more, if it's more inside the TARDIS or more outside the TARDIS. Because, like, you couldn't do it like an exact 50-50 split, unless
we're talking about theoretically.
Well, it'd probably just fall to the TARDIS floor.
The TARDIS floor?
Yeah, no matter what, because if it's outside, it's going to drop back into the TARDIS, and then we just hit the floor.
We have to move on, because I think I hurt myself.
Now, if you put the outside of the TARDIS in a different position, then things could probably get a little bit weirder.
I think that would be like a fun
thing to do.
Yeah, where the TARDIS is like on its side and you're throwing shit in and out of it, and like that is fucking up physics.
Yeah, that would be cool. But this serial doesn't do much with this other than
we're
this
getting
whole
distracted
thing.
Because there are more interesting things to talk about than time flight.
It's much more fun in our heads than it is in this serial. So, I don't know, they start saying a lot of big words, too, that mean jack shit. Nyssa notices that they are time traveling. They're flying, but they're all, because she's looking at the controls in the TARDIS, and she's like, we're actually time traveling.
Also, can I say that we've met, like, at this point, like, four characters
Three.
Three characters, none of whom I can distinguish from the other one.
They're Larry, Moe, and Curly. That's all you need to know. There's the pilot, and there's the co-pilot, and then that guy that reads shit behind them.
I don't understand why there are three of them!
I mean, you need three people to fly a plane.
Okay, but they're interchangeable.
Yeah, I would characters. Say the pilot gets a little bit more to do, but not enough to really matter.
Anyway.
But Nitsa says that they're time traveling, and the doctor says, that's because we've entered the time contour! Whatever the fuck that means. There's a lot of just, like, words. What's the phlebotinum? You know, just like...
Phlebotinum?
Yeah. It's just made up shit.
I don't think I'd heard that before.
Oh, yeah. It's like a trope thing.
Gotcha.
And then we see air traffic control again, and the plane has disappeared from the radar. But then the plane lands! And back at Heathrow. And everything's fine.
Yay!
Another mystery solved. Except Nissa just looks around and sees fucking corpses?
Yeah.
What was that about?
They were dead.
And not only that, then it cuts to, like, the doctor's like, no, something's wrong. And for some reason that I cannot gather, the filming has switched to a fucking green screen. You can clearly tell they're on a green screen.
Well, it's because of the plane.
Yeah, well, they landed and they filmed on a fucking air strip or whatever you want to call it, and then they switched to a shot where they're on a green screen.
That's the thing that we should say about this.
One small effect, but it was an effect they could have done.
About this episode is that a lot of it's on location at an airport, and so it's like
it looks nice.
Yes,
it's production value.
It's fun to look at with my eyeballs.
And then we get to this part, and it sucks.
Yeah, once we leave the airport, it's like. That's all gone.
Sets and really basic matte painting situations going on.
What is the effect that they do there? Because
there's not really an effect. They just stand there and they go, wait, something's wrong. And I'm like, yeah, you're on a green screen. But then, like, it fades up white and then it cuts to them in the set. They could have just done that without doing a green screen. I don't, like, there was, like, a slight moment where, like, the background changed around them, but they faded up to white, so they didn't need to do that.
There was a part of me that wondered if they did it because, like, the thing that they realized, right, is that this is, like, the airport's not real.
Right.
It's an illusion.
I think they were going to switch out the backgrounds.
And then couldn't?
I don't know. They fucked it up somehow or something, and they just added in a white fade up.
Well, there's a part of me that wondered if it was just, like, supposed to be like so that the viewer's like, yeah, something's not right, like it doesn't feel real anymore. And like that was the idea behind it,
maybe,
because it's only the green screen when it's fake.
Well, yeah, but like there was a shot immediately prior to the green screen shot where they are at Heathrow Airport and they actually filmed there and it's not green screen.
Is there?
Yeah, and then it cuts to a shot of green screen. So,
I'm just saying, maybe it was totally intentional, and it was to, like, put you in the mindset that this is an illusion and not real.
Sure. Let's go with that. So, what they realize is they're actually in the Jurassic period of Earth. We see no dinosaurs. Shame.
Which is a bummer, yeah. Why bother?
But they also see the other plane, the plane that was missing. And I think they also, at some point, see a building off in the distance. And they also see a crashed spaceship. And those things will become important later on. But also, we see a racist motherfucker watching all of this on a crystal ball. His name is Khalid. K-A-L-I-D.
Yeah, he's not great.
He just goes... And he's got makeup on. And he's got like a big Fu Manchu mustache. And yeah, he seems vaguely
racist.
He
seems like a caricature. A racist caricature. There's definitely elements going on in there for sure.
Yeah, and then later he'll be talking about like magic and mysticism stuff, which only like further leans into that sort of stereotype Asian mystic bullshit.
Well, at the very least, this character isn't human, and so they're like, it's not what I'm saying is there's no yellow face at the very least.
Well, yeah, but it is someone pretending to be another race. Like in canon.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of alien face.
No, that's not a thing.
Well, we'll learn more about Khalid in a moment. Well, at the end of episode 2. I figured it out beforehand though. Go me.
You took me did figure it out.
Yeah, it was his voice. And I was like, this seems like the kind of bullshit he'd pull. Do we want to go? I mean, people who are listening
people
to this.
People are listening to this.
Probably already know.
Either already know or do not care that we are going to spoil it.
Spoilers? It's the master!
But that reveal doesn't happen till when?
End of episode 2. And they do some dumb shit before that. We'll get to that. But yeah, I could recognize his voice. I was like, yeah, that's Anthony Ainley. They credited him with like another anagram in the credits, I believe. Like, not Anthony Ainley is what the
credits credit say. Says.
Like, Tegan and the doctor go off one way and everybody else goes off another. I don't remember. It's very boring. There's just a lot of walking around. But the plane crew, the pilot and the co-pilot and the third guy, Larry, Moe, and Curly. I'm just going to call them the Three
That's
Stooges.
Fine.
The Three Stooges sort of, they see a highway and they're like, oh, hey, look, there's a highway here in the Jurassic period. Surely we're back home. And it's like, Ness is like, hey, dumb shits. It's an illusion. We already established this.
Is this a scene that happened?
Yes! They almost get fooled by an illusion of a highway.
In the serial that we watched, this happened?
Yeah, I think this is also when they start bringing up the thing about the rope tricks. It was like an Indian rope trick or something. Like, you think it's one thing, but it's another thing. And they have like a whole long like discussion about it as a metaphor. They're like, oh, we almost got caught. It's like, it's a nice looking thing that tricks you into going to it and then turns out to be another thing. And you get caught by a rope, I guess. But then they see the crew from the other plane carrying the TARDIS. Like, they've just grabbed the TARDIS and are carrying it away. And they're like, oh, that's the plane crew. Let's go talk to them. And they do. And that crew is acting very weird. You know, just saying like, oh, we're going to go to that Indian restaurant after we take care of our mission or whatever. Like, but they're just talking like they're working at the airport and not in the Jurassic period.
They're still under that illusion.
Yeah, so the Three Stooges are like, grab them to like take them with them and like, no, get out of your hypnosis thing. This like goo, like these bubbles appear around them and then the bubbles turn into these weird purple rock dudes and the rock dudes grab them and they all teleport away. They all disappear. And then some bubbles.
What?
Yeah, the rock dudes. They look like big giant turds. You remember the doctor calls them plasmatons. They're made up of their psychokinetic energy made real.
Oh.
So they appear and they take the plane crew and both plane crews basically. The original plane that disappeared and our new Three Stooges crew. They grab them and teleport them away. And then the doctor also gets bubbled. He gets surrounded by these bubbles and that's the cliffhanger. Doctor gets bubbled. You remember that effect? It was like staticky bubble stuff.
Oh yeah, it's kind of gross. I didn't care for it. I mean, I didn't care for it in that it was like a neat effect that looked icky.
Yeah, they look good. The rock monsters.
Not so much.
They look like giant purple turds. But that's the end of episode 1. We're now in episode 2, which I've just called rope tricks because I didn't give a shit.
Here's the thing that's frustrating about this.
Mm-hmm.
You call them, I think, expectation spoilers a lot. More people are like, ugh. That's a bad one. Or, oh man, you're going to love this one. We got a handful of people we said like, oh, nobody's on time flight. And people are like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Nobody would want to be on time flight. At this episode, I'm like, well,
it's not terrible.
There's some cool, I mean, like, so our like secondary characters are totally underdeveloped, but there's some cool ideas here. It's very slow, but there's some like interesting stuff. So I'm like, maybe it won't be that bad. That's where I am at the end of episode 1. It's fine.
Yeah.
And there's some interesting stuff. I could see it going some, like, cool places.
The worst part of it, I think, at this point, is that it's poorly paced.
Yeah.
And that only gets worse. Because it'll slow down and then speed up and then slow down and then go way too fucking fast.
It's the world's worst roller coaster.
Yeah. But yeah, like, at this point, I'm like, this isn't terrible. It's not the best, but it's not terrible.
But it's not terrible.
So let's get into episode 2. Okay. And see how our opinion changes. So
that is what I'm trying to figure out because
I know when it was like, well, fuck this episode for me. I know exactly the moment it happened.
I'm going to have to find it in the like recounting of it because at some point I went from that. Well, to just like, oh, now I'm actually kind of bored. Like, and it's happening a long time. Like these 4 episodes seem particularly long and I don't care anymore to like actually fuck this. I've never been so angry. And I don't remember when
If you had the same journey as I did, it happens in the middle or towards the end of episode 3.
Okay.
Is when I was like, fuck this. And then it becomes boring again. all right. So episode 2, the Doctor's in Bubbles and he hears a voice asking him for help. We don't know what that's about and we'll find out later. But that's when the Doctor talks. There's a lot of just explanations of stuff that's hard to listen to because it's just fucking exposition.
Exposition at you, yeah. Which is the worst.
Because the Doctor explains that these are plasmatons. I don't know how he knows. And also, he's just throwing out just bullshit, you know? It doesn't mean anything. It's like explaining the plot, but it's just like, these are all made up words. And like, you're trying to sound super sciency, but it's super boring. He's like, these are plasmatons. They're psychokinetic energy made real. That's what also did the hallucinations. It's psychokinetic energy.
I mean, somebody's psychokinetic fucking energy is like a thing that you can track as having meaning.
Yeah, but I mean, he just says a bunch of other stuff on top of it as well. I only put in the notes the stuff that made sense. Basically, there's like psychic stuff going on that's making them see these hallucinations that are making these plasmatons in the bubbles. So then Colonel Sanders shows up.
Yeah, that is what he looks like.
Professor Hayter is his real name. And he's there and he's like, he was able to resist the hypnosis, but the rest of the crew, because he was on the first plane. He was able to resist the hypnosis because he's a smart dude, but he does think
hypnosis is his specialty.
Yeah.
That's what he studies.
He believes in hypnosis and that sort of stuff. But his role in this episode is to be, well, that's bullshit.
Yeah, he's a professor. He's a man of science.
Who believes in hypnosis?
Hypnosis is real.
He's all about, I don't believe in magic or any of that time travel. No, nonsense. Hypnosis? Hypnotic visions and stuff? Sure.
To be fair, in the context of this episode, he's right.
Well, I mean, he's not right about time travel.
He's right about some things and wrong about others.
I don't care for this character. But yeah, he also, like I said, he also thinks they're in Russia because of the surroundings, I guess. And like,
that's just like the time period that they're in, right?
Jurassic period, yeah.
No. I mean, that's why he thinks it's Russia.
Yeah, but that's when the Doctor's like, no, we're in the Jurassic period. And he's like, time travel? No, thank you. The TARDIS is brought to Khalid. I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm just going to call him the Master. The TARDIS is brought to the Master. One of the crew almost breaks out of his hypnosis. But the Master like concentrates on him a bit more and gets him back in hypnosis, which is also a clue that it's the Master.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's what he do. He's brought the TARDIS in, and that's when he starts saying rope trick, and that's when he's about to break out of the hypnosis. I guess that's also sort of like supposed to be like the TARDIS is the rope trick now to lure the Doctor in, I guess, so the Master can get him and do shit, right? Anyway, then Nyssa starts choking and then speaks in a different voice, and she acts awesomely.
Yeah, why?
Team TARDIS, this season.
So much better at acting when they're playing other people.
Yeah, Tegan in Kendo when she's possessed, great. Nyssa right now when she's possessed, great. Just when they're themselves. But she's, like, telling them to resist and resist the hallucinations and the hypnosis and all that stuff. And then she gets Khalid sees this, the Master, and is like, uh-oh. And then, like, goos her, puts the plasma. Well, he puts her in the bubbles, right? Because he's like, uh-oh, somebody's gotten to her and is trying to fuck with my shit. Because what I'll say is we later learn this is, like, some aliens, some psychic aliens that are trying to communicate with the Doctor and Nyssa and stuff. They're the ones trying to be like, help us. And the Master's like, oh shit, no. It's gonna mess up my shit.
That's not part of the plan.
Everybody's gonna go to the town to try to figure out how to help Nyssa, but Tegan's gonna stay behind and keep an eye on Nyssa. But all she does is just go, Nyssa! Nyssa! Nyssa, are you there? Like, it cuts back to her like a couple times and she's still just yelling at Nyssa. And she's not changed. She's still just in the bubbles. Like, Tegan, what the fuck are you doing?
It's not a good plan.
It's had no effect, and then it continues to have no effect. What are you doing? The Doctor and the Three Stooges and Colonel Sanders get to the place that they saw, the building off in the distance. And there they find the hypnotized crew of the first plane trying to open up an object. There's like an object, like a sort of pyramid looking thing, like a diamond looking thing in the center of this room, and they're trying to take the walls off of it, trying to get inside of it. I think they call it a sarcophagus at some point. I could be wrong. They're, like, talking about this, and then they realize the doctor's just fucking left them to go explore some more. And they're like, doctor, what... doctor? And he's just wandering off on his own, and he does that thing he does where he flips a coin, figure out which direction to go, and he doesn't like the direction it wants him to go, so he turns the coin over and then heads in the opposite direction.
It's a good bit.
One of the few. And the doctor finds the TARDIS, and... Khalid, who claims to know magic, and says that spirits told him things, what he needed to do, and he needs slaves and psycho-what's-it energy, and he just babbles on about all this bullshit. Because the doctor, I think the doctor says, why can't you just use this psychokinetic energy to do what you're doing? Why do you need the slaves? And he's like, well, you need the energy for something else. It's secret. Shh. I need both. And meanwhile, the pilot... gets a little bit more to do and tries to get the other plane crew, tries to get them away from the thing that they're tearing into, try to break their hypnotism or whatever, but winds up getting temporarily hypnotized himself. And this is the only reason why I like the pilot a little bit better than the other two Stooges, because the scene where he just starts slipping into the hypnosis.
Oh yeah, he is pretty good at it, isn't he?
Yeah, it was like, that was like a legitimately like, oh, that's creepy.
Like, there was some acting happening. I got excited for a minute.
Yeah, because usually the Three Stooges are very like, wah, 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 wah. Like, I don't know. They are like a comedic trio. They say things very big and broad.
Yeah.
They're not subtle at all. But like this scene where he just slips into like, just talking about like working at an airport sort of thing. You're like, oh, shit. But then he gets out of it. And I think he gets the rest of them out as well. Or some of them, at least. Some of the crew who breaks their hypnotic spell. Khalid, meanwhile, wants the doctor to join him in domination, and the doctor is not into domination. Sorry. We're learning things about the doctor. Not his kink, sorry. Khalid sees in his crystal ball that the crew is now free, so he's going to send plasmatons for them. And because he's doing that, it frees Nyssa, because he's taking the plasmatons from Nyssa and putting them on the crew, the Three Stooges. So now that Nyssa's free, Tegan's like, let's go back to the plane where it's safe. And Nyssa's like, nah, I want to continue on and go to the Citadel. It's in my notes. That's what it is, this town, this building thing, it's the Citadel. She wants to go there because she knows shit, because like voices were talking to her while she was in the bubbles, saying like, resist and do this and do that. Like, she's also been like vaguely psychic this whole episode. Like, she feels things and knows things. Like, when she first landed, she saw the corpses, and then there's a bunch of times where she's like, we need to go this way, and they're like, why? And she's like, no, I know it. We gotta go this way. So, the Three Stooges are brought to Khalid and put in a force field. Khalid wants the TARDIS in exchange for them. He's like, doctor, give me the TARDIS, and I'll free these Three Stooges that you honestly probably don't care about, but you have a soft spot for people. Meanwhile, Nyssa finds a secret passage, opens a door, and goes inside. And what do we see? Adric.
Hey, I know him.
Yes, please talk some. We see Adric, who was only in this episode.
I kind of forgot what we were doing, and I was just listening to you. I was just like, huh? Then what happens?
Adric is only in this episode to preserve the secret that he died in the last serial. So that, because of the way these were released...
But
were
he's
like...
also there to keep them from... progressing forward as a psychic projection.
Sure, but like not 100% necessary. It was solely there.
What in this episode is necessary?
I mean, that's fair. But I mean, it was put into the script solely to have him credited in this episode so that it wouldn't spoil his death in the last one, because the synopsis for this one went up in Radio Times or whatever before Earthshock aired, or while Earthshock was still airing or something. But he's just like, stop. Don't go any further. If you do, I will die.
They're like, you have your star.
Yeah, you have your badge.
You're already dead.
And then he's like, no, don't. It's like the Good Place with the button. Remember, like,
oh.
You get close to the button, it's like, Janet goes weird and is like, don't, please, you'll kill me. It's like that, except Adric is dead. They go through Adric, and then they also go through the Melkor from Nyssa's first episode. I forget the name of that one.
Mm.
It's also the Master's first episode, I guess. That this... particular master. Yeah. And they go through the Terralyptal.
I can't fathom why they brought that back.
I don't know either. Why did, if you're gonna take something from that fucking episode, bring back the fucking robot. Right.
The robot looked cool.
You gotta bring back the weird fucking fish. But, like, here's the thing. Like, after you get through Adric and Melkor, like, it's the same trick every time. They're going to be like, get the fuck out of my way.
I don't like, these are all still fake. We got it. It's fine. Also, like, Adric kind of feels like the big gun.
Right? And on him.
Yeah.
Start on the others. Like, I can sort of see Melkor. Like, I feel like, the progression would be Terelyptal, because who gives a fuck? Melkor, because that's tied in with Nyssa and, like, you know, her dad and everything.
Right. It gets more personal.
And then Adric. But you do it, you did it fucking backwards. It's like, Adric, this is sad. And then, like, Melkor, that's my dad. And then fish guy.
I guess it is her dad. I was gonna be like, that's not her dad. But
well, I mean, it's tied in with her dad. Yeah. Like, it's the thing that killed her dad.
Yeah.
Technically, the Melkor was a TARDIS, right?
Yeah, I guess it was.
It was the Master's TARDIS. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was.
That's backwards. They should have flipped it.
Yes.
Fish guy is not your big, like, boss.
That's not something you want to end on, let alone use. I truly do not understand. I mean, I know that it was like, what's, you know, what's laying around so that we don't have to make something new. What happened to the robot? That's all I want to know.
You know what you could have even done is just had the master. And then that would also be like a little subtle, hey. You know? A subtle, hey.
No.
So, but they get through it and it's like, this was fucking pointless. Meanwhile, there's the cloud that's around the Three Stooges, and the pilot gets some sort of, I don't know, a pipe or something, and is, like, attacking it, and, he's like, this is all bullshit anyway, it's all just hallucinations, and the doctor's like, actually, this one might be a little more real, be careful, and he's like, I don't give a shit, and smacks the hell out of the cloud, and it turns into these, like, snake puppets, like, these weird, like, you don't even remember.
You keep saying I keep being like, they do what?
It happens. They turn into like these snake creatures. They go away like 5 seconds later. That's how unimportant they are. But it happens. It was like a neat effect. You remember him hitting the cloud with the pipe?
No.
Like I said, the pilot gets a little bit more to do. He's like attacking the force field thing around.
And there are snakes.
Yeah, they turn into like these snake creatures.
Can you pull up a picture?
I can try. Images. Let's see. Well, those are the rock turds.
Yeah, they're truly ugly.
Let me put in time flight snakes, maybe. No, actual snakes!
They're just pictures. They can't hurt you.
It's like right at the end of episode 2. I could just pull up episode 2 real quick to show you. Hold on, I'm going to do that. Like, I just want you to remember these things. Because it wasn't a bad effect. This cloud attacks them. He hits it with, like, a thing. It sparks. And then it turns into snakes.
Oh, like, okay. You know, I do remember that. It's just that it happens. It's one of the several things that happen in this serial.
It's actually one snake with two heads.
Okay. Sorry. I do remember them now.
All right. Cool. They're not bad puppets. I mean, they're a little Hanson-y looking, but they're a little goofy looking, but they're fine.
Because this isn't, we have not yet reached the point where like, there's just so much.
No, it's so slow still at this point. So Nyssa freaks out because I guess she's connected with it psychically. Her and Tegan smash something inside the... they're basically inside the thing that the crew's been trying to break out of. Break into, I mean. They're inside that, like, pyramid diamond thing. And they smash something, which makes the snakes disappear and causes Khalid to fall down and just start pouring boogers out of his face.
Ugh, it's bad!
What the fuck? Why?
Okay, here's the thing, because, like, that's how this...
Was that, like, he was putting up, like, he was using the plasmaton psychic energy stuff to make this fucking disguise?
No, here's the thing, here's what I'm saying, because it is the master, and he just, like, he's got, like, a mask, and he takes it off. It's, like, the equivalent of, like, blood capsules that he did just for fucking show. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense.
I guess he... Why?
Because he's a damn dramatic bastard.
I guess so. I don't see how it helps him at all to be like, oh no, I died! And then just ooze boogers out of his face. It's bad, and I hated it. Hader and the doctor then examine the magic ball and realize it's electronic. See, magic's not real! But it is also psychically...
It is.
Psychic as well. And then also, Khalid is the master. And he stands up and struggles to get out of his costume, and they cut away really quickly. He's like, aha, I'm the master. And he's like, you can clearly tell he can't get out of the costume. That is the end of episode 2. We are now into episode 3, which my title doesn't even make sense here. So
what is it?
Divided Divinity.
What does that mean?
It's a reference to the aliens later.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not great. So.
Oh, God. We're only in episode 3?
Yeah. Come on. We can do it. Okay. Stick with me. And then I'll make dinner. So, the master got stuck. He just does a whole big explanation. He got stuck here in the past and was trying to get into the stone thing to get power from it, but he'll just use the TARDIS instead. Because his TARDIS is fucked, basically.
Yeah.
He crashed here or something after Castrovalva. So he gets the TARDIS key from the doctor, and TARDIS is out of there. Then everybody goes back to the stone thing, and then another character named Angela shows up, and this is the point where I'm starting to get exhausted. I was like, who the fuck is this?
Right. We already have 3 characters who you haven't bothered to, like,
develop
or do anything with.
And now you've just introduced this random new character.
Who you aren't going to bother to develop or do anything with.
She gets some scenes with Hader, and that's about it. Something to do with food, like fish and chips or something. Like, he's like, concentrate on that to get rid of the...
To break the spell.
Hypnotic spell, yeah. But fucking do that with one of the pilots. Or, you know, one of the... We have 3 guys here that you're not using. It just... Oh, my God. It just starts piling on shit from this point, I feel like. This is the episode that started to make my brain literally hurt.
I had a headache when we finished watching this one.
I did too.
Like, ugh. I had to go and I had to get the aspirin for both me and Joe.
So, the Master's in the TARDIS and it returns back to where it was because of a thing the Doctor did to it. He did something to the TARDIS before the Master got into the TARDIS, so it just returns back to where it is because something's wrong with it. The Doctor, like, purposefully did a thing. I don't remember what it is. I don't care. The 3 Stooges sneak into the TARDIS while the Master's not looking.
I was going to say, I thought that's why it returned.
No.
Because they had fucked with it.
Nope.
So they, like, sabotaged it.
Nope, that's not happened yet.
Well, that doesn't make any sense!
The Doctor did something, and, like, the Master's gonna fix it. So, because this is the point where the 3 Stooges sneak in. The other plane crew, by the way, is still trying to break through the wall so that they can get to Tegan and Nyssa. And that's when Hader tells Angela to focus on fish and chips. They're still getting hit with hypnosis a little bit here and there. The Doctor finds the Master's TARDIS and realize that it probably has more crew in it. Because they're like, all the crew's not here. There should be more people. There should be more people from that first plane. But then he realizes it's probably in the...
Well, not just crew, but passengers.
Passengers, yeah.
Because it is a commercial flight.
But they break through the wall, and the Doctor and Hader climb in, find Tegan and Nyssa. Hader, like, touches a thing and says, it's alive! Which made me think of Ian.
Aw.
And I was like, what the fuck's alive? Meanwhile, the Master's having TARDIS troubles, and is, like, going in and out trying to fix it. And that's when the pilot does some sabotage.
To the Doctor's TARDIS.
To the Doctor's TARDIS to make more TARDIS troubles. And he says, a trouble shared is a trouble doubled?
He says it like it's a saying. And I...
It actually, there is a saying, but he said it wrong. And I think it's a joke.
Ah.
A trouble shared is a trouble halved is the actual quote. Which honestly makes sense. Like, if you share a trouble, you can...
Fix it.
But he's saying we're making more trouble for the Master. It's doubled. So
it's a joke. That was lost on me, and I was just like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, I googled it.
Thank you.
So inside the thing, there is a fuzzy intelligence or something. There's like a glowing thing, and they're like, it's some sort of psychic intelligence. And the hole that they made seals back up so they can't get back out. The Master catches the pilot. The 3 Stooges doesn't really do anything with him. He just grabs some parts and is like, I've got this, bye, and leaves. And turns on the TARDIS before he does so. So they're in the TARDIS, the Master gets out, and then the TARDIS disappears with the 3 Stooges inside of it. And they rematerialize above the Citadel. And they're like, well, what the fuck are we supposed to do? And one of them's like, you're a pilot, figure it out. And he's like, I'm a pilot of planes, not whatever this weird box is. But Hader finds figurines inside the thing. He finds figurines of a ancient race or an alien race, and realizes, and the Doctor realizes, it's not figurines, it's the actual race. They've been tissue compressed because it's the Master, and the Master wants to use the intelligence power thing to power his TARDIS.
Okay, well, so you haven't... okay. God,
this is where it starts to hurt my brain.
Well,
the race isn't dead.
Right. Well, that's what's about to happen, yeah.
They put themselves, all their psychic...
Into
a box.
Yeah, they merged. They became like a big hive mind sort of thing.
And
psychically.
That is what the Master wants to use to power his
TARDIS. So he can get out of the past.
So, he can
But he needed stuff from the Doctor's TARDIS in order to do that.
Yes, but also... It's like that power, it's more than just it'll power his TARDIS and he can leave. It'll allow him to severely fuck up some shit.
Right. He'll have some sort of power.
Yeah.
Because they're like, they're powerful creatures, I guess. So the creature takes over Nyssa and says it needs a sacrifice in order to talk to them more clearly, I guess, to materialize, I guess.
What does that mean? Why?
I don't know. But
how does that work?
These,
why?
These things show up so late game, and like they have to say so much shit.
Here's all of the plot that we're going to tell you in the third fucking part of a four-parter.
The professor offers to sacrifice himself so that these alien creatures
and
have
nobody
a voice.
Cares because all the secondary characters are fucking interchangeable anyway. It's not even sad.
He melts. That was gross.
It was gross. I do like his, I mean, his motivation is kind of like, they know everything, and if I'm, like, a part of them, then I'll know
stuff.
I'll
yeah.
know everything, too. Because that's what, it's not like a sacrifice, right? It's like a, I mean, it is a sacrifice, but it's not like, we need a blood sacrifice in order to talk to you. It's like, once we have a human person in here.
We can form a body.
Yeah.
Or some
I don't know.
I don't know. So, but they melt the professor, and then the alien, his name, they're Xerophans, is what their race is. They're Xerophans. They materialize a guy named Anathon, and they start just fucking explaining everything. They tried to escape a war, crashed into Earth. They were contaminated by radiation, so they all melded together to wait out the radiation. But then the Master showed up and tapped into them psychically.
Fuck. I forgot that this whole serial takes place on Earth in the Jurassic movie.
Jurassic Air, Tony! So, the Master crashed into them and, like, tapped into them psychically, fucked with their shit. And now they are so... they're divided because they've been influenced by the Master. So, like, half of them are evil, half of them are good, and they've been battling it out psychically. So the good ones have been trying to contact the Doctor and Nyssa and all that. And the bad ones are still in league with the Master, right?
Yeah.
So they got to use their minds to stop the evil. And the Master is putting together... He gets some of the crew back. He gets Angela.
Why was the Master even... like, what was the point of the disguise? Except to just be like, it's me!
I don't fucking know. Who was it for?
Who was it for?
He could have done everything he did with the Doctor knowing that he was the Master.
Well, not only that, but, like, he was clearly established as that character before the Doctor ended up there on accident.
Well, I don't think it was entirely on accident. I think he was trying to get the Doctor somehow.
How?
I don't fucking know.
The time thing that scooped up the airplane wasn't anywhere near the Doctor the first time it happened.
Yeah, that's true.
The fact that they ended up at the airport at all was an accident.
I don't know. Please, can we just...
So he was doing that just because...
Yeah.
That's how he lives his life. And then the Doctor showed up and he was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm glad I bought all those booger capsules and put them on the inside of this mask.
Also, he got stuck here, so he didn't buy them. He just had them.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, he didn't...
Those are
just... like, what's in my TARDIS? I want to throw some shit
the
together.
The Doctor has, like, a wardrobe. The Master most definitely has just, like, a prop. It's like the backstage of a fucking play back there in one of his rooms. Where it's just masks of his own goddamn face and other various bullshit.
So, they're all trying to use their minds to stop the evil.
What does that even mean?
I mean, the Master's influence.
Why didn't they do that before?
Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. The Master's trying to pull them. They're trying to stop the Master from pulling him. But the Master has put together something, and he manages to get all the Xerophon, which means he's got a TARDIS battery now that's powered by the Xerophon. So he gets them all. He uses it to power his TARDIS, I think. I don't know. Tegan is just as confused as I am.
That is, every time Tegan has been like, what's happening? Explain it. I'm always like, yeah
please. And then the doctor just goes, the master has finally defeated me. And then that's the end of episode 3. And it's at this point that I'm just like,
like, we spent
so much stuff. Nothing happened for the first
2.5 episodes.
And then everything happens right here.
And it's not even like, okay, like, you're watching things happen. It's just like, okay, so there was a war, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then there's this science thing that I have to explain. I mean, you're just like, stop! Stop!
Maybe explain some of this throughout the 3 episodes, so it's not dumped on us all at once. And then we get episode 4, which goes back to just being boring. This episode is called, I've called Return Flight. So, the Master TARDIS is out with the crew that's still hypnotized. The Professor Colonel Sanders,
who sacrificed himself.
Appears to the 3 Stooges in the Doctor's TARDIS and helps them pilot back to where the Doctor is, somehow.
Well, he knows everything now.
Sure. The doctor gets the TARDIS back, they TARDIS out, and the doctor tells the crew to get their plane ready, we're gonna leave. So the TARDIS put back on the plane, and they talk about fixing the plane using parts from the other plane, but the other plane isn't actually the plane, it's the master's TARDIS, and the other plane is inside it. The doctor's like, well then I'm gonna TARDIS around his TARDIS, but the master dematerializes before he gets a chance to, and that means they're going to be stuck there. But, no, not true, because the pilot sabotaged...
the doctor's TARDIS.
He sabotaged the doctor's TARDIS, not the master's TARDIS.
Yeah, but he was...
Oh, the master has
they
the doctor's...
They switched pieces, don't you remember? They had... There was a whole scene. I don't know. It's not in your notes at all. There's a whole...
Oh, the stuff that the master took out of the doctor's TARDIS is what the pilot... Yeah, I said he took parts out of the TARDIS to take to his TARDIS.
Well, no, there's like whole scene where they like trade stuff.
No, that's coming up.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the master took the doctor's TARDIS, couldn't get anywhere, but he took parts to take back to his TARDIS.
Yes.
But the pilot had sabotaged those parts.
That's why he couldn't go.
Right. So the master's TARDIS reappears. Then they're going to make a trade. Passengers for parts. The doctor will give him parts from his TARDIS that work. And the master will give him the hypnotized people. This takes 900 years of screen time.
Roughly, yeah.
It just goes on and on. It's just like, hey, we're going to fix the plane up. It lasts forever. It's so slow. It's so boring. Nothing's happening. People are just hanging out. There's no tension. There's none. There's zero tension.
No.
It's just, eh. And then the master gets the part and he's like, peace out. And the doctor's like, he's going to go to Heathrow, and that's going to be bad. So we got to get there first. And
he has to go to Heathrow, right? Like,
right. It's some sort of like
he did
safety thing.
He did do something to the part so that like, or there's
no. It'll be like it's going to go to the first place that it went to last time. Some sort of like check thing to make sure the TARDIS is working. He's going to want to test out the TARDIS to make sure it's working. It's going to just go to the nearest program, the first program place, which would be Heathrow Airport.
Which would be Heathrow.
I think. But Tegan, there's a great bit because he's like, well, let's all get on the plane and go because we've got to get there before him. And we will because I programmed it to get there later.
Well, that's the thing. He's like, yeah, I did it. There's so much of this fucking serial where he's just like, I did a science at it.
And now he's going to show up there and we're going to show up there first. But he's like, get everybody needs to get on the plane. And there's a great bit where Tegan gets to be an air stewardess. She's like, please go this way.
That was like a really fun moment where you're like, finally.
Something good is happening in this shit show.
Not just good, but something good specifically for Tegan.
The plane takes off. They do stuff, wind up back in the present. The TARDIS teleports out of the plane and lands at Heathrow. And then the plane lands. And the master's TARDIS can't appear because the doctor's TARDIS is there. And through some sort of wibbly-wobbly nonsense, it sends the master's TARDIS to Xerophos, which is where the Xerophans come from, where they will presumably enact revenge. It's said I don't know. The doctor just
explains
it. Here's
the thing, like, the episode doesn't even give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, the episode's like, yeah, then he went back there, and I guess presumably they're gonna, I don't know, and that'll be bad for him. Like, it's...
We don't see any of this. We are told it. Like, there's no, like, the master going, curse you, doctor! Like, he just takes the part, and we don't see him for the rest of the thing. Everything that happens to the master from this point on is told to us by the doctor. Which is bad writing!
That's like some 101 shit! Come on!
It's just like, oh yeah, the problem was solved, because I did some stuff off screen and just had to explain it to you.
That's great.
So...
That's what I love watching on TV.
And then Tegan's like... Maybe I'll go back to Australia. And she's like, goes into the airport and is contemplating leaving.
Is she contemplating leaving? Because when I watched, I remember her just being like, happy to be at the airport.
So there's a scene where she walks up and it says like, flight for Australia, departing and like, whatever. And she stands there and she's like, thinking about it. There is that shot. There is a minute where she's like, maybe I'll go back.
This is not something that she verbalizes.
Well, no, this is actually pretty good. It shows... Instead of telling, it's not something her going,
no, but
should
I'm saying,
I go back? It's like a shot of her walking into the airport and like standing there and that
My complaint is not with the shot or that moment. My complaint is with the doctor who just fucking leaves her.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is she didn't like communicate like...
With the doctor?
Yeah. Like I'm thinking I might like to go back. In fact, that's not the choice that she makes.
Right.
She comes back to the TARDIS. As the TARDIS is leaving. Because fuck her, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think they assumed that she's been saying this whole season, I want to go back to Heathrow.
But she's been saying that, but literally the last episode she was like, no, I finally have decided. I want to, like, stay and be on the TARDIS and have adventures. And then they drop her off at Heathrow and leave her!
Well, the doctor was in a bit of a rush because they were like, the airport people are like, we need an explanation. What's going on here? We don't fully trust you. And he's just like, also because the Three Stooges have not been very helpful. They're kind of being little shits. They're like, hey, we need overtime because we just spent millions of years doing work. And they're like, well, where's the, you've lost a whole plane. We're not going to, you know, and like, it's not lost. It's just been buried for 140 million years. Dig it up. And then, like, they come to talk to the doctor, like, what the fuck's going on? And he's like, I've got some stuff in my ship here. I'll be right back. And then, TARDIS is out. And then that's when Tegan shows up and is like, oh.
So the scene, I think one of the interchangeable three airplane guys is like, I thought you'd be going with them. And Tegan says, yeah, I thought so too. Which is the saddest thing!
I actually like that a lot, though. This at least makes sense character-wise and story-wise and is something emotionally interesting.
Does it make sense that the doctor just fucking forgot, like, one of his companions was there and was like, bye!
Yeah?
Shit, you're right.
It's a character! Remember fucking Dodo?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like the doctor was like, she wanted to be a Heathrow anyway. Bolts out of there. I think it works
from a story standpoint. I mean, it doesn't make me any less, like, livid. It's an interesting choice as far as, like, having a companion leave as opposed to just, like, I'm a woman, so I'm getting married. And that means I can't go on adventures anymore.
I know stuff. Do you want to know stuff?
Should she come back?
Do you want to know?
I don't know. If there's stuff to know, she comes back.
Yeah, she comes back. Next serial.
Next serial? Really?
Yeah.
I thought so. I mean, I didn't think that this was, like, her departure. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to do that! Stop laughing! It was an accident.
Oh, departure. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Well, the way people talk about, like, Tegan and Nyssa is, like, there must be more of them than we saw. But that is written like a...
Companion departure.
Yeah, shut up.
That's the only bit that feels like finale material. The rest of this episode is filler. Bad filler.
Here's the thing, too. Like, I might not think that, like, oh, obviously they're gonna, like, pick her back up in the next one. Except that they just killed Edric.
Right.
You know? So it's like, oh, they're getting rid of everybody.
And this is a finale.
Yeah. Okay, do we do it?
That's the end of episode 4. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
You know how Disney kind of like puts films on an assembly line, but you know that when you're getting something from Pixar, because it takes so long to craft, that there's a lot of care put into it.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing Worldwide on radio 7 days a week, your favorite podcast app, and right here on the ESO Network.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
It is time for final thoughts.
Oh, thank God.
Final thoughts.
This is one of the first episodes of Doctor Who to make me truly furious. And I don't know why I was furious, except for that in that third episode where they're just like, here's all the plot stuff. There's one, like a lot of them just telling it to you. Two, it's a lot. And like, it just made me so angry. Like the more that they would just use like made up words of like what was happening, like the more angry I got, where it's just like, we're going to introduce this concept and this concept and this concept, and none of it's important and we're not going to spend any time on it. We're just going to keep throwing shit at you, like concepts, not doing anything with them. And that's the thing. Like here are all these characters, here are all these concepts, and we're going to spend the vast majority of the time not interacting with them at all and just telling them to you at the end and being like, okay, anyway, that was the plot of this one. And you're like, what? What? You can't just dump everything right at the end in like a big mess. And like also like just keep introducing new things. I think, so like we tweeted when we watched Time Flight that like I was angry, and somebody was talking about how like, oh, it's a bonkers one though. And we've talked about on the podcast before about how like when Doctor Who is being bonkers, that's when we love it. But this was like bonkers in like a soulless way. It wasn't fun. Like, it wasn't like, no. Here are all these crazy weird concepts and we're gonna explore that. Like, we're gonna explore them just because. That's what I usually mean when I mean like bonkers. But this was like, here's a bunch of here's this concept and this concept and this concept and this concept, and we're not going to explore them at all. We're just having them to have them. And instead of like doing a cool thing where we explore a neat idea, it's like, here's like 30 ideas. Just
29 of them in episode 3.
29 of them in episode 3, and like it's just the like me telling it to you, where it's just like, okay, this. It's like ticking off a list. It just made me mad. Like, this was, like, the first time, like, we've had episodes that, like, was like, ah, that wasn't great, but whatever. Ones that were, like, that was paced weirdly, but it had these, like, really fun moments. And, like, this was one where it was just, like, it made me angry to have to watch this. Those are my final thoughts.
Yeah, I completely agree. Episode 1, half of it is just, hey, look, planes. That's it. They fly for, like, 15 minutes. Episode 2... is like, here's a little bit of plot stuff, but it's mostly just people walking around. And then episode 3, it's like, here's fucking everything! And then episode 4 is like, oh shit, I guess we gotta wrap this up. And then there's like just like fucking around with the plane for 15 minutes, and then they go back and then tell you how everything got solved, and that's it. It's slow, slow, so fucking fast! Slow. And it's just, it felt like a first draft. Like, I feel like if you'd rewritten it and, like, move things around, spread things out a bit, balance things out more, that would have been, it would have been a good episode. I liked the bonkersness of it.
There were good concepts in there. And I think that's part of what made me so angry. It wasn't just that, like, oh, there's too much or it's too boring. It was like, you could see the ideas in there and it's like, but I didn't get to play with them at all.
It felt like an outline more than anything.
Yeah.
The only things that I think worked in this serial was there was a couple of small little character moments, like the Doctor flipping the coin and stuff like that, that were fine. And Tegan's stuff.
Good Tegan episode, yeah. She got to be in the airport, which is good for her.
Everything else sucked bad. It sucked real bad. Like, this is not my least favorite episode of Doctor Who. But it may be my second least favorite serial.
What's your least favorite?
I hate Power of Krull. Like, Power of Krull is so goddamn boring. Because, like, Power of Krull, we just watched it and I was like, ugh, that's bad. This, I was like, there's so much to think about. Like, there's at least stuff in this one. It's bad.
The way that the information is presented is poor.
Yeah. Like, I could see it being a better episode. Like, Power of Krull, I just think nothing.
Can't be saved.
Can't be saved. I like the big giant monster thing. And that's about it. But like, this there's almost too much stuff is the problem. Like, at
I
least
don't even think that
got
there's
a reaction
too much
out
stuff.
Of
I think that it's just unevenly distributed.
Yeah.
But you literally just reach a point of, like, from trudging along.
The Xerophon earlier.
Yes.
And, like, what their deal is. Even just have the Doctor talk about it. Like, maybe when they see that crashed spaceship, which is their crashed spaceship, by the way. That's what that was about. I didn't even mention it because there was, like, 50 things to talk about. Like, if the Doctor had been like, that's a Xerophon spaceship.
Yeah.
That's weird that it's here because they had some war. See that stuff earlier instead of just, they show up and go, oh, fuck, here's everything about us. It would have been much smoother. Maybe we should rewrite this one.
All right.
But yeah, that's my final thoughts. Just bad. It's bad. Worst serial of this season, for sure. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I dislike it than Power of Krull. So who knows? I'm so physically exhausted and emotionally exhausted. I'm just exhausted. This is an exhausting serial. I'm done. I'm out. So, and before we go, is there anything we need to plug?
Please continue to watch The Unseen World on watchheartlandtv.com. I did it. Please keep watching that. I swear to God there's new stuff coming soon. We've got about halfway through of editing what we've got because we're not shooting new stuff right now.
Wonder why.
I don't know. I mean, that's it. That's all I can think of.
By Road Tripping.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon. Road Tripping by JB Hivemind. Oh, wish me luck. I have submitted to, like, 4 different writer fellowships in LA. I wrote 2 pilots and a spec script.
They're really good.
Thank you. So I'm hoping I get something from one of those. So just wish me luck.
Good luck.
And if you like what we do in the shadows, let me know and read my spec script and give me notes. But yeah, I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
If you like this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on watchyourassline.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes because it does iTunes magic.
It sure does.
What's that iTunes magic
that it
does?
You want me to explain it?
Yeah, why not?
It's like the more people leave reviews, the more iTunes agrees that our podcast is a thing that exists.
Yeah.
And we'll show it to other people.
Helps us out. And if you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there you will find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. There you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards like day early episodes, uncut video where the podcast records, live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys, bonus episodes, all sorts of cool stuff. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD or Blu-ray for us. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
Check him out at matthewgolden.net. I also want to give a special shout-out to Vince NEL for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thanks, Vince!
And check out more of their stuff at soundcloud.com/VinceNEL or VinceNEL.soundcloud.com. One of the two.
However SoundCloud URLs work.
And tune in next time when we start a new season of Doctor Who and talk about Arc of Infinity! Until then, keep calm. Wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Oh, and special thanks to Ben Patton for recommending fish food. It's very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do apologize for the delay. Your flight is now ready for boarding. Would you care to proceed to your aircraft immediately?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.